This section is about special thanks to various people that helped me put this together, including the authors. The first one will be one of the editors in the magazine, Moshe Benarash. I don't know the pronunciation is correct. Hopefully it is. Apologize for quick pauses here and there for some coughing. Without his suggestions, this issue may have not come about, and I had hoped at the time that the next issue would be his own poetry, which I may still do. I have that cassette, and I have not heard it completely yet, but depending on how it hits me, I'll make an attempt at putting it together. I did not feel at the time that I could do him enough justice with a simple sampling of his work in this issue. I kind of felt that he needed an issue all by himself. He was way too powerful, too strong, and a poet and reader to just be sampled. It just wasn't good enough. But it was his suggestion that I email Karen and Marianne to include their work. I cannot thank him enough. They were both outstanding. Jilly Smith is one of the singers from the group called Gong, progressive rock music band, kind of an international band, half Aussie, half French, half English, and so forth. She did several solo albums, and included in this one is a song from an album called Glow, G-L-O, Even As We Glow. The song is called Back to the Sea. The track was created by Stefan Lowry, also known as Steffi Sharpstrings, and Gilly Smith. Gilly has for years been the mainstay voice for Gong along with David Allen. And within the confines of the band, much of her work has been in the area that we might consider feminist in American, but without the militant appeal. Jilly is much more mystical and spiritual person than that, and she uses her poetry and work to deliver messages in that area. Currently, and that means at the time in 1999, Jilly is doing some shows in the Bay Area where she reads a lot of poetry and words out of the phone book. Unbelievable stuff, let me tell you. As well as sing several of the songs that she had created for the group Gong. A major Gong family reunion took place during that time to honor the band. A picture of Jilly and the band is available on my own personal web pages, including her birthday party. Another very important one for me is Anthony Phillips, and of course a lady named Erin that I met but did not connect with. Anthony Phillips was one of the original members of the band Genesis, and he was a strong part of the creative that brought out what in the early 70s many came to call the fairy tale rock stuff. The music was more than just a bunch of songs, and subject matters were kind of out there. I suppose you could say some of it was symbolic and interesting, but a lot of people don't seem to like it because they are not rock lyrics. However, if one listens to Anthony's massive body of work on records and CDs, one will discover that it was not so much about the fairy tale thing that got him as much as his poetic nature. His music is pure poetry. I had written several poems to one particular piece of his immense catalog, and I went after him for permission to use the music for those two poems. Given his stature, I was prepared for the worst, which is not reading these poems. Well, he and his manager took care of it. They allowed me permission to use Slow Dance, which is the name of the CD, to be able to read the poems the way I envisioned them. I also had to ask my beautiful friend Erin, someone that I hoped that I could connect with, if she would allow me to do so. I didn't want to embarrass her. These were written at a especially hard time in her life, just before she was connected with somebody else. She didn't like the music piece. She kept saying that, oh, it's so sad. And I don't know about that. I have never thought of that piece as sad, even though the poem sometimes is melancholic. But it's melancholic because I didn't connect with her, not because of the music. Erin's gracious is above and beyond anything I've ever seen or met in any woman, which is one of the reasons why I liked her. Some might call it love. I called it respect. Love maybe, but it was not to be, and I'm okay with that. But the feeling that came from that one moment at Helen's magical place at the lake, right after a bunch of tarot cards, I did tell her many things that came to pass on cue, just like the second poem, would eventually lead to a most important friendship for me. I have rarely had the chance to open up and be able to talk to this lady about this poem and how it came out, and I don't think she has ever heard it. Who knows? But at least she's in my memory, and I have a huge thank you to Anthony Phillips for allowing me to use this. Vina White. In my view of things, her work is the most underappreciated thing I have ever seen in my lifetime, with magical work on angels, fairies, divas, and what I call other critters. The beauty of her work stands next to her poetry as a beacon that we can rarely find ourselves. There are simply no words that I can describe her work with, which, except that it takes it is a shame that it is not displayed for others to see. Maybe we're afraid of energy drawings that do not reflect everything we already know. Who knows? Her angels, per se, are readings about the quarant, and she has done so many of these and none look alike at all. It is more than obvious that she can see these things, and I have been lucky enough to be with her through all these years and help her to find these things and display them in a way that cannot be done any justice with just words on my own. You kind of have to see it, feel it, and to believe it. Her work is not symbols. It's not ideas. It's just real. And her poetry is the same thing. It's as if we are a child that is about to be soothed into sleep, even though we might ache so much. It is just that kind of feeling, a very loving, caring, and story-like feeling. Marianne Hazen. Shamefully, I have not been keeping up with the latest issues of Yggdrasil at that time, and as I probably should have. I was too busy maintaining a life and creating a couple of issues for the Yggdrasil that I missed a couple of things here and there. I created many issues for them. Not many, but a few. Having not even read Marianne's poetry when I received the tape gave me one of the most wonderful shocks that anyone can expect. Strong, well-defined, beautifully expressed, in many ways a true vision of idea that I have of woman, I guess. It was a nice eye-opener for me to find that there are women out there that know who they are and can express themselves so well. And I certainly appreciated that done in poetry, just like Jilly Smith had done. Personally, I have to admit and tell you that I would love to have a connection like that, but it never happened. Fire Mask. The real surprise for the Yggdrasil was the appearance of this band just in time for this issue. I have always wanted to see a rock band or a jazz band come out and deliver poetry instead of a song. In some ways, I wanted the poem to be illuminated by the music, or that the music be totally lit afire by the words. On occasion, you know, there are a few bands that have done this, but it has always broken into a song. And maybe only Jim Morrison has really ever been able to blend pure poetry in the context of music in a band, with the band The Doors. Fire Mask CD is called Dead Reckoning, and it's close to what I imagine can be done should be done. But, and that is a sad statement on the music business, that it can pump out, garbage and get teenagers to buy it and never consider the arts and the beauty itself that many others struggle so hard to create. This album is one such example, and the four pieces I have in there are not all of it, but it has a lot of very fine things. It is hard to put into words what this is about and exactly what the band wants to bring across, but let me tell you that there are times when words, anything that I can possibly say, cannot do this justice. And for your pleasure, enjoy the listening to Fire Mask. There are a couple more things that I have not yet, that I had listed previously on the issue. One by a gentleman called NECA Stoller. I think it's Peter Stoller. It was a poem that was provided with me that gave me a first option, an idea. Much has changed since then, and I remember that the book was, that I guess that the poem had been published in a book already, and it was available at that time. I don't remember the poem very well, and I don't have a copy of that tape, so if Mr. Stoller replies, I will gladly put it in the issue. But so far, a week later, I have not received any reply. Karen Alkali Gut, I got one piece recorded that I may or may not use. I don't know yet. It depends on her reply to the email or if I get anything. She, 22 years later, she's now a retired professor in Tel Aviv. But one cannot really prepare for the immense talent and expression in this poetry and music. That had a piano by somebody named Liz Magnus, or Manish, I don't know how that's pronounced. The piano playing in these pieces is just beautiful, and it's unbelievable, and sometimes beyond description. I even thought that Keith Jarrett sometimes just go on the keyboard, you know, sort of like meandering all over to make it sound like this is far out stuff. But Liz's music accompanying Karen's voice, it was moody, ready, prepared, on time, and this is what music was really invented for, isn't it? A treat, and hopefully I'll be able to get another tape from her, because the original tape either didn't make it or disappeared, and I'll be able to use the many poems that I had posted originally, which was like 8 or 9 of them, in this issue. I can't promise anything. She hasn't replied yet, so hopefully I'll hear from her. It is magnificent work. It really is. Lastly, I want to, the person who's not a writer or a poem, but he's a code artist, and his name is Jason Downs, an old-time friend, so I've known him now for, 23 years, and it's hard not to notice the work that he has done with the pacifier when he was one of the system admins, and then putting together Arrakis, which was the machine that originally housed this material. I had to bother him many times to help upload the files because I'm not a Unix Argonaut like he is. I mean, whew, top of the line. But much of the credit and ability for the audio issue at that time goes to him. I have to thank him for allowing me and helping me do that. He obviously believes in the art of it. He himself has a very large collection of music. And many times I'll be playing something and he walks over the corner and goes, "Who is that?" And that kind of a thing. And a lot of times I do the same thing for him. But it's been a very nice friendship, and I have enjoyed his knowing him all this time really well. He is really a special person. And lastly, last and not least, I'm kind of tired, exhausted, and spent many years fighting to make a living in a world where the artistic work that we create is not always appreciated. I'm still thought of art at work and by people around me as some kind of a jerk or an asshole whose work is meaningless, even when there is an uncanny dedication to learning it and sharing it. But I have never wavered once from one thing in my life. I believe in art, and I love above anything else, any material relating to it and otherwise. I may be cynical, but not morose. I have believed in music, poetry, art, and magic. These web pages that show this work and everything else is my truest heart. So much so that I have found it difficult to create any poetry in regards to it. In the past 5-10 years, I don't think I've done a lot of poetry, but I've written a lot of novels, if that makes any sense. You know, how do you go from one expression to the next, right? But there's a lot of music in these words and are kind of like my poetry. And so I hope that this comes across and that people are willing to appreciate it. They are my spirit dancing the wings of the universe in a way that no one can ever describe. I still have dreams in this concrete jungle of lost and stolen child dreams and desires. The proverbial, what's the name of that movie? It'll come. Disguised as some sort of a matrix that we have to be subservient to. I have hopes and desires that one day we will be able to. And it is people like ourselves that keep this older man from crumbling. Maybe it is a hope that one day we can all sit in a cafe in the streets of Paris and look back. We can then pat each other on the back and tell each other that we have done well despite all the hardships that we have been through. I am, inside and out, not a totally happy man. I guess my voice shows signs of weary or tired. But with your reading of these poems and listening to it, and hopefully it shows how important the whole thing is to my life. I don't know what I would do without you all. I really don't. Both writers, musicians, and friends, I don't look at audience as what is the most important part of the work I do. To me, the completeness of the vision is what's important, and I stick to that very, very strongly. What the audience catches and picks up is not something I can control. Sometimes they get it, sometimes they don't. That's just the way it is. But I do know, and I bow humbly and joyfully and give you my tears in full heart, because were I to die today or now, I would thank each and one of you for all the love and heart that you have shared that has made me cry, love, live, and learn. The rest is hard. This I can love unconditionally and appreciate your wanting to hear it. The final note is that all the material presented in this mission is copyrighted by the authors. Okay, this material encoded is not designed to allow people to make copies and share and sell it or share it. It all belongs to the artist, and they have the right to do as they please. I thank you very kindly for 18 plus minutes of yappity yappity yap. And hopefully that explains things. And the next time you hear my voice, we'll be reading a couple of poems. And thank you so very kindly, and you have a terrific, wonderful